Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Martin's Community Methodist Church. It is a beautiful day outside. We want to thank the Lord for our outreach. It has been very successful as we reach out into the park during the week with hot dogs and s'mores. Please keep that in prayer. I'd like you to all join me in the opening prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in this day, we give thanks to you, Lord, and we may call upon your name. We will make known among the nations what you have done, and will proclaim that your name is exalted. We will sing to you, Lord, for you have done glorious things, and we will let it be known to all the world. Father, today we will shout aloud and sing for joy. We will declare the great is holy is your name, one of Israel among us. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Now please stand and join me in the call to worship. We gather as God's beloved children. However glad we are, however out of sorts we are, we come together as people whom Jesus calls into community. So this becomes the place where all are welcome. We've come to give thanks, to pray, and to sing, and to be with each other. Let us worship God. Now I'd like you to stand and join me in the reading on page 758. Psalms 27. Please join me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes will stumble and fall. Though the host camp against me, and the heart shall not fear, though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire the Lord's temple. The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me, and I will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent and shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart shall seek the Lord's face. Your face, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God, my salvation. If my father and mother should forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on level path because of your enemies. Give me not up and will of my adversaries, or false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So is the reading of the Psalms. Let us continue by reading the scripture today. Today's reading is just one verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as I open up your word and let it speak to our hearts, as we touch into the topic of just calling upon your name, you will save us, that each of us, as we know friends and family, we lift them up in prayer, because we want them to be there at the great wedding feast. So, Lord, we ask as I go through these scriptures, as I make commentary on the scriptures, you will give my speech clarity and open hearts to listen to the message. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. The message today is titled, Jesus Saves. You know, and it's a great message. But if it's such a great message, why does it seem that no one really cares out there? I mean, seriously. I have all sorts of people. That's the last thing they're concerned about, is that Jesus saves. And it's just amazing to me, as you try to go and explain these things to your friends, family, neighbors, and even people at the park, they are highly unconcerned that they need to call on the name of Jesus, that they need to be saved. Their desire to be saved is almost non-existent. In fact, so many people do not have the perspective that they are evil. They do not see the need for a Savior. They see that they are good. The things that they've done in their life are good. Maybe a few bad things here and there. But you know what? The fact is, what God says, and it doesn't matter what each individual says or even us as a human community says, what God says is something totally different. This famous verse in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. I want you to understand, these are Paul's words out of the scripture to the Romans, that there is no good. There's no good in humanity whatsoever. As much as humanity wants to be good, as much as the individual people want to be good, it's not good. Only God is good. And this is a core doctrine of the church. It's called the depravity of man. Doesn't matter how you look at it. Doesn't matter what man does. Man is evil. He's been evil from the beginning, starting with Adam and going out the century. And I can name tremendous, horrendous, evil deeds of men through history. But everybody looks at those and say, oh, look, they're evil. I'm not. I'm good compared to that. And then there's Hollywood. Just visit what Hollywood puts out. It's worse than what the Romans did in tossing the Christians to the lions or the gladiator fights. My gosh, I cannot stress enough how far we have fallen. And yet, people don't seem to notice it. I was kind of shocked a couple weeks ago when I went to the movie called Reagan. And the movie was okay, but that wasn't my concern. It was the movie next to us. It was a horror movie, a terrible movie. And yet, the line ran out the door and around the corner, filled with parents taking their kids, their little kids, to this horror movie. This is where the heart of man is here in America. We are an evil people, and Hollywood is right at the core of it. And so, as you can see, the scripture says, without a doubt, that all have fallen short. There is none, not even one, that desires God. This is how far we've come, and this is where we've actually always been. And you know what? Then you've got in Scripture the wonderful story of Zacchaeus, which we've done songs about. Zacchaeus, this wee little man, climbing up in the sycamore tree and waiting for Jesus to come by, and Jesus sees him up in the sycamore tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I will eat at your house. and salvation came to his household. Here Jesus points out why he came, and I'll read just an excerpt from that story in Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." I want you to understand Jesus' mission on earth was never to condemn the lost, to condemn men for his sin. He came to save. And Jesus continually is actively seeking the lost. This is a passion of Christ to seek and save the lost. And it's a passion that's just not him, but it's also our passion to go out and seek and save the lost in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we need to share this story with everybody, share his word. And in the Gospel of John, verses 5, 24, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come to judgment, but is passed out of death into life." You see, Jesus came to seek and save. Jesus saves. He saves us from the eternal punishment of God. He saves us from the coming punishment of God here on this earth, which no doubt, I tell you, it is coming. The day of the rapture is coming, and the day of God's wrath being poured down this earth, as promised in Scripture, will soon be here. So I want you to understand the whole goal of Jesus is to come and to seek and to save, and not to condemn men and women, but offer them life. And this is something that we too need to be doing. We need to be out there doing our Father's bidding, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and telling people, time is short. Your life could end much shorter than you think. Are you ready to meet God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, to save you from the punishment of God? Now, if you notice, it seems like right now the world around us is very dark and getting darker. It's a spiritual darkness. It seems like the portals of hell have been opened, and some of the strangest things we've ever experienced are starting to happen. You hear it in the news. And in fact, this metaphor of dark is for sin and evil. The sins of this world seem to be growing and growing, and we really do live in evil times. Many may not see it. They are just totally blind to it. And this is a spiritual blindness that has been caused by the Holy Spirit to blind people because they do not desire God. And in fact, many media that people consume day in and day out are deeds that are worse than what we find in Scripture for Sodom and Gomorrah. And if Sodom and Gomorrah was not spared, but the wrath of God poured out upon it, oh my gosh, think what will happen not too long from now as the world continues to spin out of control. And we ourselves are called to be like Jesus. And you can read this in John 8:12. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I want to read that again. "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's us. That's us. We are following Jesus, and Jesus has given us the light of life. We're to be a light in this dark, ugly world filled with sin. We're to be like a candle set on a high stool so that it lights up the entire room, like a city on a hill, where all can see the light all around them. We're to be a beacon of light and of hope in a dark world. And I want you to understand one of the sayings of Jesus, what he saves us from, because it is really a church word, Jesus saves, and you hear it all over the place, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. But what does Jesus save us from? And that's why I want to read about how Jesus calls us to repent. So in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 to 32, it says, Jesus answered them and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You see, Jesus saves us from our sin. He gives us the ability to turn around and repent, which is what repentance means, to turn around and turn away from sin and evil so that we can be a light and a beacon to the world, living a life holy and pure through the power of Jesus Christ. So it's a very simple question, is how do you tap into this saving power of Jesus? How do you get Jesus to save you? How can someone be saved? And the joke is, a lot of people think it's complicated, but it's so simple. We read it again in Romans, in Paul's message, where it says in 10:13, it says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's that simple. Call on the name of Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Ask him to save you. He will. It's a promise. There's no sinner prayer required. There's no baptism required. There's no fancy ordeal required. It's a very basic step. Cry out to Jesus and ask him to save you. It's no more complicated than that. Now, after that, life becomes different, but to get to that point, you have to ask Jesus to save you. He will not save you without you asking for him to save you. It's as simple as that. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that you go through life and you're saved and you never asked. You have to ask. In James, it says, you do not receive because you do not ask. You have to ask Jesus to save you, to be saved. And so as you're out there sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people, tell them they're not automatically saved. They have to ask Jesus and cry out to Jesus. And understand, this is not a works by our action and deeds, because in Ephesians, Paul makes it very clear, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that one may boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them." I want to read part of that again. "For by grace you were saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." So many people out there think there's some requirement upon us to be saved. You have to fulfill the requirement for Jesus to save you. Absolutely not. It is all by his grace, his sacrifice. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that had his body broken. He's the one that had his body beat and bruised and a crown of thorns put on top of his head. He took all the pain and suffering so that he could give the gift of life to us. So I want you to understand that to be saved, just cry out to Jesus. I cannot repeat that enough. I know it sounds like a broken record and it sounds too simple, but that's all it takes. Even if you're in the midst of turmoil and trial, you're in the midst of pain and suffering, take the time to ask Jesus to save you. And I tell you what, there is only one name that can save you. One name in all of earth and all of heaven and all the galaxies. And that's made clear in Acts verses 4, 10 through 12. And let me read that. Let it be known to all of you. Now I skip a little bit. That by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. I'm going to read that last part again. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men which we must be saved. And I want you to understand that clearly. There's lots of people think they can get to God by another name. A lot of people think maybe they can be saved from the wrath of God by another name. But guess what? Scripture clearly teaches there is only one name, one man. His name is Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those are Jesus' own words. These are things that Jesus taught, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one else. So for your friends to be saved, for your relatives to be saved, for the man on the street to be saved, for the woman on the street, for the people you meet in the grocery store, only one way they can be saved from the coming torment of God, either in the afterlife or in the tribulation, is they must call upon the name of Jesus to be saved. So, my final thoughts for today are, I don't know if you've heard the news, but massive global war is about to take us over. Have no doubt. And tell your neighbors and friends and relatives and other people that you meet in the street that time is short. Time is short. No one's going to have a long life at the way things are going. No doubt. So time is short, and they need to have their life rectified with God. They need to call on the name of Jesus to be saved before their time is up. Because on the last day that someone takes a breath, if they have not called upon the name of Jesus, they will face the punishment of God. This is what Scripture clearly teaches. But all, and I mean all, everyone, every soul who calls on the name of Jesus, that's it. They just call on the name of Jesus and ask Jesus to save them. They will be saved. In the last days, in the end times, in the times, the last days, and the end part of the church where we're headed, they just call upon the name of Jesus and they'll be saved. Remember, Jesus saves and no one else. And please share that message with all that you see. Please stand and join me for the affirmation of faith on page 889. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance. that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in through the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. Now for the benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Go in peace.